Hello, I'm Dango Rose, and you're listening to the Mountaineer Podcast in conjunction with the Mountaineer Newspaper, the voice of the Peak to Peak, online and in print. Brought to you by Mountain Vale Media. Now, listen in for the show.
Hello, my name is Jamie Lammers, and welcome to this week's episode of Music of the Mountains, Where to Be and What to See. I am very excited for this week's musical guest, so do you mind introducing yourself real quick?
My name is Andy Epler. I'm also known as Ando. I'm a multimedia artist, including music, painting, and film.
And I hear that you're performing at the Jamestown Mercantile very soon.
Yeah, I love that place. I've been playing up there since July of 2007 when I was releasing my first album. Yeah, I was on tour from Texas at the time and ran into that place, and I've just been in love with that community and that place ever since.
So what got you interested in music in the first place?
Well, when I was a kid, my mother used to sing for our church. When I grew up religious in Texas, my mother used to sing for our church, and that was kind of a beautiful version of ministering to her community. So music has always been in our house, but as soon as I was in school for very long, it was pretty obvious I wasn't going to be one of the normal children, and whatever the other kids were being trained up to do, that was not going to be my outcome. So I felt very free to choose any kind of life I wanted. So I chose a life in the arts. It was sort of like being in the ministry, sort of like helping your community, but I didn't come with all the rules.
Were there any artists in particular that grabbed your interest along the way?
Sure. I was always really inspired by people like Stevie Wonder and Etta James and Waylon Jennings. I just consider that to be great American art. And some of those artists are just the epitome of what I like about American art. I think I probably picked up on that pretty early in my life. I always really loved Bob Dylan and his writing style. He's like the Shakespeare of music, you know?
Are there any particular styles of music you like to play?
I play a mix of outlaw country and R&B kind of soul music. I think of both of those genres as classic American genres, and I think of the music I play as sort of middle American soul music.
How long have you been performing your own songs?
A little over 20 years. I've been playing the same guitar at shows for 20 years, but when I was about 15 or 14, I started recording my songs onto little cassette tapes. I'm 38 now. So I've been playing gigs with my guitar, with my original music for 20 years. Yeah, and we both look like it too.
Is there anything in particular that you love about being able to write music and perform it with an audience?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, a lot of stuff. That's my whole life, right? I think to me, it's a mystical practice of going into this idea scape and feeling around in the ethereal gases and coming back to humanity with this little crystal of an idea that you can hand somebody. Your job is to go out into the unknown and come back with something. And I think that process is probably one of the most important processes for humanity, that kind of leaving the herd to find resources and then coming back to the herd with good news. That's, I think, my favorite part about the job. I can give you a simpler answer if you're like, oh, I like it when people sing songs. Oh, I'm happy. For me, it's a mystical practice, and that's my truth.
Do you have any favorite parts in particular about being able to perform live?
Yeah. I mean, the longer you perform live, the longer you start to notice those crowd dynamics, a crowd really enjoying a song or really responding to a joke. Those things are pretty controllable, and you start to recognize that humanity really is a herd species, and they really do follow once there's some momentum. And that may sound like a cynical note, but I really mean it as a hopeful note, because humanity is apt to follow good ideas. They'll follow bad ideas too, but they will follow good ideas. And as an artist, your job is to sort of invent new good ideas. So playing live sort of reminds me that people are interested in connection, and they, as a group, do sort of start sharing emotions and traits, because community is really that natural to humanity. Also, I'm a middle child, and I like it when people clap for me.
Is there anything in particular you hope that audience members will be able to take away from your shows when they come and see you?
Well, I mean, my live shows, there's two different versions of live shows. There's the one where the audience comes and sits quietly and tries to take the medicine lesson you're trying to give. And then there's the kind of show where people have come out to have a great evening together, and you're there to sort of support that. Those are very different shows. This show coming up, I think, will be a little bit more like that second version. So my job will be to play just loud enough to where if you brought a boring date, you don't necessarily have to talk to them the whole time, you know? And then I help people leave feeling like they got what they wanted out of their evening. They got to connect with each other, and they hopefully got to hear some catchy tunes and good poetry, and I probably talked a half hour of the two-hour show and told a bunch of jokes. I talk away a lot of my shows because I know they call it a music show. What they really mean is they want someone to entertain a crowd and be the head beer cheerleader, and I love that part of the job. JFK Merck is such a great place to play a show because they really are a tight community, and they really are excited to hear songs, and they really take joy in the culture that they've created in that space. And I think that is so important and, to me, very inspiring to interact with. I remember once I toured through town in 2007, first time on tour, first album, and I came to Jamestown. And they were like, you know, you can stay the night if you want. You could pitch your tent out in our little field out there and whatever, take a bath in the river. And I was like, whoa. You know, I was from like the flatlands of West Texas, the desert, where it's like bathing in the river sounds like some John the Baptist kind of whatever. It felt like Robinson Crusoe or something out there. I remember washing my hair in the river just across from the venue after the show. It was magical. It was a magical experience. Oh, man. And here's another quickie. A couple of years later, I was living up here and I was married at the time. No, that's not right. This story happens in 2008 or so, like the next year. The next summer, I come on tour again. And while I'm on tour, my father-in-law decides to come out and take a road trip himself. And during his road trip, he's going to meet me in Colorado and hang out for a minute. Well, he is a Texan cowboy Christian guy. And we went to Jamestown because I thought, this is the most magical place ever. Nah, he'll probably love it. He didn't really love it. And you gotta be honest, the community basically didn't love him. They got real mountain small town quick. They loved me. It was great. They remembered me and everything, but they did not like the cowboy guy I brought around. He's my ex-father-in-law now anyway, and that's fine with me too.
Well, even though we're primarily promoting your music show, do you want to talk about some of the other ventures of art that you go into, like film or books or liquid light?
Oh my God. Yes, it's like getting to talk about different lovers. I love all of them. Yeah, I do watercolor portraits, and I love that. I take commissions on my website, andyeckley.com. I'm an award-winning filmmaker. I've made a lot of short films that are usually either kind of high-minded, artsy-fartsy erotic films, or they are black and white silent films. The other thing I like to make, made a movie called Denver International a couple years ago in the airport when it was empty. It turned out to be a really interesting movie. What else do I do? Yeah, golly, I've got albums out. I just released a book called A Songwriter's Grimoire, Practical Notes for a Mystical Practice. It's an art philosophy book that looks at art through the lens of songwriting, kind of uses songwriting to talk about larger art philosophy ideas. So, yeah, there's a little sampling of things that I'm into. Liquid light is amazing. It's an overhead projector like we learned math on in school. I did. I was born in the 80s. So it looks like a goose or something, but it has a light. And I put clock face glass on it and a puddle of water and oil, and I can color those things, and it looks like a projected lava lamp kind of situation. It's amazing. And we've done erotic photo shoots with that, and it's fabulous. And that's on my website, of course. Yeah, that slidey light, little clouds of stuff going across some gorgeous naked person. It's a good day in the arts. You know, my friend, I have three books, but the most recent one is A Songwriter's Grimoire. That's the one that I'm trying to push. That's available on my website. I'm selling physical copies as well, but you can only get those at live shows.
Will you be selling your books at the upcoming show at the Jamestown Merc?
I will be. I'll have a big old stack of them. And I'll say this too. That's a book for creative people. So a lot of it is my lyric from my published albums over the years. That turns out to be, I don't know, probably 15,000 words or something, or more probably. And the actual meat of the book, that is kind of the essay section, is just the first three sections of the book. It's actually not an intimidating amount of information for a creative person to try and ingest. And the ebook, people can contact me for that, or they can buy that anywhere online, Barnes & Noble or whatever. I think they'll probably sell print books through there too, but it's cuter to get it from me because I'll draw in it. You want the cute version.
I found a bio that you wrote online, and apparently you have a collection in your name?
Oh my God, this is so weird. Yeah, Texas Tech has archives, and I'm from Lubbock, Texas. I didn't go to Texas Tech, but they have these historical archives. They've got Buddy Holly's glasses and Waylon Jennings' guitar strap and Natalie Maines' demo when she was trying to get into the Dixie Chicks, and they have all that stuff. And each of these artists have their own section of whatever they could scrap together from these people's lives, and they contacted me and were like, we're going to put together an Andy Epler section, which surprised me. Being alive and everything seemed weird. Did I get hurt? Am I okay? This seems a little early, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, so they have a section of my art in their archive. They have a lot of my early handwritten lyrics, art pieces, album art pieces, because I used to make all the art for the albums by hand with no digital typography. So they have all that stuff. So they have a section of my art right next to Waylon Jennings' guitar strap. They've got my guitar strap for my guitar, Miss Dang. Isn't that weird? The imposter syndrome is strong with that story. Because doesn't it seem like if they're putting your work in a museum, you're dead. You've been dead a while. You either died real young or real old. I haven't done either thing. But I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. And in Lubbock, when I left, I was sort of a troublesome character in some ways, very politically active in my early 20s. I was sort of an ass even. So I think a lot of the people that I offended have died, maybe. And now people forget what I was like, maybe. I'm not sure why it's happening. Ah, that's my imposter syndrome talking. But it's weird. That's a weird part of the story so far.
Coming off of that idea of being remembered in an archive like this, is there anything that you hope people will remember you for as an artist?
I guess I hope people remember me for being somebody that brought people together and made his art for the community and did so relentlessly in his own way. I'm glad people liked it, not being able to stop me. It's sort of an inevitability until I do move along. I'm going to keep making it. And the thing that I like about making my art is trying to put good medicine inside it. I hope they remember me for good medicine. That's the thing. I don't know the difference between the good work and the whatever not good work. So I just have to keep swinging. I hope they remember me as the dude that kept swinging.
I also read in your bio that you had a TV show that you worked on for a while.
Boulder County Tonight. Yeah, Boulder County Tonight was a politically themed tonight show that I produced for Boulder County during election season. The purpose of the show was to get the community involved in the local politics in a way that they wouldn't normally, because nobody's paying attention. But I believe local politics is really important. So we did a Mr. Rogers, Bob Ross level tonight show for Boulder County. We did 16 episodes of it, and we interviewed city council people and candidates that were running for local office. It was a lot of fun, and that's available on my website as well. It was fun to write a monologue every week for the show, because it's just me. I had to do 10 minutes of stand-up comedy before each show. That was fun. We even had a monkey puppet eventually on the show, because it was for public television. And I think if you're doing public television, you get a monkey puppet. So if you make a far-out political statement, it's helpful to have a monkey puppet on the screen with you, because it's impossible to hate a dude with a monkey puppet. You can't take him seriously. He's not really in trouble in the same way.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to double check. Please tell me that monkey is a guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. That was a regular character that would reappear on the show. Yeah, he's got a little beeper in his mouth, you know, a little boop, boop, boop. So the monkey doesn't talk. He just beeps. So we did a 15-minute interview with that monkey in one episode. Yeah, political activism has been a big part of my career. That's part of how I help my community. I write voters' guides. I try and do interviews with local politicians so that the community can see that they're just our neighbors trying to help us. It's not like in Washington. That's a whole different thing. The local guys aren't crooked in the same way. There's not enough money in it. There's not enough power in it. They're not crooked in the same way.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add or that I forgot to mention before we wrap up?
Not really. My focus right now is to try and build traffic for my website. I've got a Patreon that I would love people to sign up for, and I've got the new book that I'd love to sell. Those are really my concerns. But all that's on my website, which is andyepler.com. So all the TV stuff, all my short films, all that stuff is on the website. And hello to your podcast audience. Oh my God, thank you for listening, you sweeties.
Thank you so much to Andy for coming on board and joining us for the podcast. It was an honor having him on board. If you want to catch him performing live very soon, you can check him out at the Jamestown Mercantile located at 108 Main Street in Jamestown on Thursday, April 18th, 2024, starting at 7 p.m.
All the children home again.
And now, for this week's Music Mentions. Head to Busey Brews, located at 70 East 1st Street in Nederland on Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. to see the Nippers performing live. Head to the the Dinah Barnett, located at 121 North Jefferson Street in Nederland, on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. to see Damn Jam Open Jam Night, on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. for a karaoke night, on Fridays at 9 p.m. for a DJ Friday, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. for an open mic night. Head to Eldora Mountain Resort, located at 2861 Eldora Ski Road in Nederland, on Friday, April 12th at noon to see a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with The Vibrarian, on Saturday, April 13th at 9 a.m. to see a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with DJ Milk, on Saturday, April 13th at 1 p.m. to see Bass Area Deck with Brandywine and the Mighty Fines, on Sunday, April 14th at 9 a.m. to see a DJs in the Woodward Boombox series with Pomegranate Sounds, and on Sunday, April 14th at 1 p.m. for a Bass Area Deck closing day performance with the Al Capones. Head to the Gold Hill General Store, located at 531 Main Street in Gold Hill, on Friday, April 12th at 7 p.m. to see Derek Damesoll performing live. Head to Howlin' Wind Brewing, located at 51A Main Street in Rollinsville, on Saturday, April 13th at 5 p.m. to see the No-Go Gilbillies performing live, and on Monday, April 15th at 6 p.m. to see Chicken Wire Empire performing live. Head to the Jamestown Mercantile, located at 108 Main Street in Jamestown, on Friday, April 12th at 7 p.m. to see Late for Supper performing live, on Sunday, April 14th at noon to see Bradley Stotts performing live, and on Wednesday, April 17th at 5 p.m. for an open mic night. Also be sure to head there Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. to see Andy Epler performing live. Head to JKQ Barbecue, located 200 Gregory Street in Blackhawk, on Friday, April 19th at 6 p.m. to see Brittany Wagner performing live. Head to Knotted Root Brewing, located 250 North Caribou Street in Nederland, on Sundays at 5 p.m. for a Jazz Sunday night. Head to the Caribou Room, located 55 Indian Peaks Drive in Nederland, on Friday, April 12th to see the Little Smokies perform with Jake Legg. Doors open and dinner starts at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8 p.m. Head to the Train Cars, located at 101 Peak to Peak Highway in Nederland, on Thursday, April 11th at 5 p.m. for a train jam. And finally, head to the Very Nice Brewing Company, located at 20 East Lakeview Drive, number 112 in Nederland, on Friday, April 12th at 5 p.m. to see Mountain Reverb performing live, and on Saturday, April 13th at 5 p.m. to see Reservoir Fog performing live. Did we miss you or your performance? Want to submit your music listing in the Peak to Peak area? Do you have updates to your business or to your performances? Please call 303-810-5409 or email info@themountaineer.com to be included in the next print edition or the next podcast of The Mountain Ear. A Mother Earth is calling. And yes, we listen. We listen. Oh, yes, we listen. Yes, we listen.
And that's it for our show. Subscribe online to get access to more news, weekly updates to our community calendar, and a link to our YouTube channel by visiting themountaineer.com. Be sure to use the coupon code PODCAST when subscribing for a 10% discount, only available to our listeners. I'm Dango Rose. Thank you for listening.